Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Because I do love our president, I really do, but it's a question that we all are asking, and we pose that not just to President Obama, but to our ladies and gentlemen in Congress and our ladies and gentlemen in the Senate. With a reminder, election 2012 is just around the corner, and we really do need to start addressing how are they going to fix it, because if they don't have a clue, we really might need to get some new people up on the hill. I did statistics on things like unemployment, food stamps, welfare benefits, the homeless statistics in this country, and the foreclosure crisis, and the numbers are staggering. I mean, it's almost unbelievable to think that this many people are hurting, and we have people up there that are supposed to be able to fix this, and obviously they don't have a clue. So that's what we're going to explore tonight. One of the things that we found out starting out was that the unemployment rate in this country, per the U.S. Department of Labor, is 9.1%. But in actuality, we know those numbers are much higher because those numbers are connected to the people that are receiving unemployment benefits. So if you are not or no longer are receiving unemployment benefits or never received unemployment benefits, you're not going to be counted in that number. So technically, that's probably a lot lower than it actually is. So this week I also noticed that Tavis Smiley and Cornel West did what was called a poverty tour, in which they went to, I think, 16 cities, and they addressed the fact that there's a lot of people in this country hurting. They got a lot of backlash from that. But I really don't think, in my opinion, there was anything wrong with that, because some people considered it to be a slap in the face to this administration. But in my opinion, any time a spotlight is put on poverty, regardless of what administration is under, it's a good thing. So I'm not sure I agree with those that got mad with them about that. Also, Maxine Waters and Congressman Conyers were in the news because they were at the Black Caucus, and they, too, were questioning what the president was going to do about jobs. We reached out to them several times this week trying to get them to come on this very show to talk about jobs, and we were unsuccessful, but we did make every attempt to do that. We also tried to reach out to Representative Alan West. He's out of Florida, because he, too, has been talking about jobs or lack thereof in this country, and we wanted him to address it. We made several attempts, but were unsuccessful with that as well. So what we're asking tonight is, how can we fix it? I mean, because obviously it's broken, and with the numbers that we're seeing in terms of what's going on with the people that's hurting, it's only a matter of time before this bubble bursts. I mean, and I'm going to give you an example of some of the things that I found and some of the things that were sent to me. One example, for those of you that are looking for jobs, someone sent me this, and there's a petition on change.org. It's against monster.com and careerbuilders.com. And for those of you who are looking, who are posting your resumes everywhere, trying to find jobs, if you are unemployed, there are several employers who, I guess, look at resumes on these websites. And if you are unemployed, they're asking monster.com and careerbuilders.com to not even send them your resume. Just putting that out there so that you all know, if you've been posting your resumes out there and you have not been getting any type of response whatsoever, that's what I understand per the petition, and I was asked to put that out there so that you all would know that, and they're asking you to sign the petition, and I did, and I suggest everyone else do the same, because that makes no sense. If we have employers who are unwilling to even look at resumes if you don't have a job, that absolutely makes no sense. I mean, because I think that's one of the reasons you're posting your resume is because you don't have a job. So why would it be an issue to not even consider you if you're unemployed? You could have been unemployed for 2 days, or you could have been unemployed for 2 years, but they're not even willing to look at it if you're unemployed, period. So just putting that out there for you all who are looking for jobs, that's just something that someone passed on to me this week, and I thought it was absolutely incredible. And also something else that I found out there that was just crazy. A lot of people are looking and they're going to certain areas thinking there's more jobs in one particular city than maybe like it is in another city. And so we were looking at what cities, and we picked the top 10 that were supposedly great for jobs. And what we found out for these particular cities, the top 10, per every 1,000 person, there was just only so many jobs. So in San Jose, California, for every 1,000 for every 1,000 persons looking for jobs, there was only 187. So imagine 1,000 people are looking, but there's only 187 jobs available. Seattle, Washington, for every 1,000 jobs, every 1,000 people, there was only 108 jobs. Washington, D.C., for every 1,000 people, only 147 jobs. San Francisco, for every 1,000 people, only 105 jobs. Charlotte, North Carolina, every 1,000 people, only 105 jobs. Baltimore, 104. Cleveland, 102. Hartford, Connecticut, 94. Denver, Colorado, 92. Austin, Texas, 90. So that means, imagine every time a job is posted, 1,000 people show up. There's only so many jobs. I mean, there's only so many jobs. And so there's thousands and thousands of people going to be applying for these jobs that they're never going to get because there's not enough jobs for the people, which is why we're doing the show tonight. We really just want to spotlight how are we going to fix this, because if there's not enough jobs and we got people in Washington who obviously don't know how to create new jobs, we're in trouble. And we found something, let me find my notes on that, that said that The Black Caucus was trying to create jobs, but every time they attempted to create jobs for African Americans, I believe the last 40 times, if my notes have not failed me, it says the Congressional Black Caucus is blaming the House Republicans for blocking more than 40 bills intended to create jobs for African Americans. That's crazy. So we got people in Washington who are blocking bills that would create new jobs. So that says when we go into election 2012, we should know who is the enemy and who is not. So I think we should be researching voting records on the people we plan to vote for, because it's crazy if we're voting for people who have no intention of creating jobs in our community. That's absolutely crazy. We're going to go to the phone lines because that's the area you have 317 has been holding since we began. We're going to go over to them. Good evening. Welcome to Center Stage.
Hello, this is Steve from Indianapolis.
Hi,
I'm glad you're on the show tonight, and I can tell you exactly why we do not have jobs.
Well, I'm listening.
I'm the first. Well, the reason why we do not have jobs is because our health care, our energy, our banking costs as far as interest rates are too high. Right now we're spending an additional $600 billion in costs when we have 95% of the land in America is off limits for oil drilling due to the Environmental Protection Agency. A lot of the people that's for green cars, go green. Mm-hmm. We have 250 million automobiles in America. We sell about 10 million brand new every year. Even if all these cars were hybrid, it would take 25 years to replace this inventory. So we need to drill for oil while we're waiting to replace this inventory, which will take about 25 years. The second reason, health care costs. We spend an additional $500 billion a year on healthcare, on prescription drug costs. When Canada, European nations, spends half of what we spend every year on drug costs, why can't we buy drugs from Canada? If we have free trade, then why can't we get free trade when it comes to buying our prescription drugs? Why are we paying 50% more cost than Europeans? Illegal aliens are going to the emergency room almost every day. There's lots of hospitals in California had to shut down because illegal immigrants having babies in the emergency room, running up the health care costs on an already extremely high cost health care system. That's another reason why our health care costs are about $2.2 trillion a year, when Japan spends one third per person on what we spend on health care. These are the main reasons as well. And interest costs, banking interest. Some of these credit cards have 50% interest rates. Who owns the best real estate in every city downtown? Who owns the skyscrapers? It's the banks. And they're raping us. They're economically raping America. They had us bail them out. And what they're doing now is they're refusing to lend out money to credible businesses that's been in business for decades. Atlanta tried to do an additional project at the airport, couldn't get approved for a loan, and they have been taking out loans for decades. You've got banks not willing to cooperate and lend out money to credible businesses, not people that can't afford to pay them back. We're talking about Atlanta International, been in business for decades, and they won't lend out the money. So, and we also have inflation due to quantitative easing, which is inflation, which is caused by the Federal Reserve on top of that. Now, I'm an independent. I'm not a Republican. My policies may sound Republican, but I'm an independent. But we have a system that is extremely too expensive. Now, either you reduce costs or you raise wages. The minimum wage will go to $14 an hour. Hey, we could balance the budget. We could, you know, hey. But if you raise the minimum wage, it's going to hurt the young people as far as employment opportunities. So we either need to get these costs down or we need to raise the wages up. And also free trade. No other nation around the world allows other countries to import their products. We have a $750 billion going on in this nation. With fair trade, every dollar going out, every dollar coming in, every dollar we sell going out. With fair trade, eliminating the 700. Every manufacturing job you create in this country, you create four additional jobs. On top of that, you reduce prison costs. You reduce public safety costs. You reduce the amount of police officers, because when manufacturing goes up, the crime rates come down. We also have a situation where you have illegal drugs causing 30,000 deaths on the border every year. We have people that narcotics traffickers, raising that's causing the crime rates to go up, public safety. When people go to prison, they're spending, what, $20,000 a year on prisoners? We need that cost to be back into the economy. We don't need that to be spent on prisoners. We need to legalize drugs, and we need to get the crime rate down. That way we have more money to spend on other things than sitting here. And we also have a – I'm sorry, folks. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing and not getting results. We're spending 50% more on education than other industrialized nations. And the main reason, when they had free trade under Clinton in the 90s, they sold it as, hey, we don't need to do those low-class manufacturing jobs. Our people are going to get an education. Well, right now we have half of people not even graduating from high school. We need to bring the manufacturing jobs back. For all the people that do not graduate from high school, if we don't bring them back, they're going to probably end up in prison, running up the taxes, running up the public safety budget, which the states cannot afford. You have California talking about building prisons in Mexico right now because their prison costs is so high, they can't afford to build any more prisons. They're talking about, hey, let's build prisons in Mexico. We have so many prisons, we need to get manufacturing back in America for people that do not want to go to college. It's like trying to force something. It's like trying to tell a man that has 20 women he should be married. If America does not want to be a white collar nation, then we should adjust to what America wants to be through manufacturing. I'll answer any of your questions.
Okay, how did we get this far off track?
The reason we got this far off track is a lot of these policies started as decades earlier. In the 70s, they started with oil. We don't want to drill oil in America. We can buy it from another nation. And that started in the 70s. In the 30s, the health care – we used to be on a holistic health care system for the first 155 years, apple cider vinegar, cod liver oil.
Yeah.
What happened was they started using drugs, vaccines – and the health care costs just exploded. You have to go 12 years to be a doctor. In other nations, you don't have to go to school for 12 years. And they don't learn anything about nutrition. So we have higher fructose, corn syrup, all this trash eating And if people, instead of taking care of themselves, which will bring the healthcare costs down, you got people running to the emergency room and constantly thinking of prescription drugs don't fix the problem. So a lot of these issues that started a long time ago, and they gradually these prices have gotten higher. Banks used to, the interest rates for a loan used to be low. Now you got a little blimp on your credit report. Oh, 22% interest rate for your automobile loan. So these banks are getting out of control. They don't work hard for money. All the banks do is they're loaning out money they get from the Federal Reserve. They're not saving. This is not money that they saved up over the years and they decided to loan it out to you. These banks are on a high pedestal and they need to be knocked down to earth. We shouldn't have never bailed them out in the first. We should have re-engineered the entire financial system because you're rewarding bad behavior, and yes, they're doing bad behavior now. They won't even loan out money to credible businesses that have been in business that will create jobs. We need trillions of dollars to create 14 million jobs. We have a $6 trillion gold bubble. The gold value is $6 trillion. Go ahead. You have another question?
We're gonna come back to you. We're gonna listen. We're gonna leave your line open. We're gonna go to area code 901-494. See what they have to say.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
901-494. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
My name is Queen. I'm from Memphis. I really agree with Steve about this. You know, I know I'm gonna get a lot of grief from probably anyone that's listening from Memphis, but I concur with him wholeheartedly. We have a lot of issues. One of the main ones that he said is education. We spend absolutely too much money on education in America. We want to believe that everyone is fit for college. I agree that everyone should be educated. That means you need to know how to read, write, and be able to comprehend, to be able to, you know, sustain a decent living. However, you know, we have this American dream. We want to, you know, tell our children and everyone else they can be all they can be. They want to be, and they can be a doctor, an engineer. The reality is everyone cannot be where they want to be. Everyone does not have the mental capacity, you know, to be that. And in other countries, what they do, you know, they basically give their citizens that option to want to, you know, if they want to be a mechanic, they teach them how to be a mechanic, you know, and they don't wait to 12th grade to do it. They do it at 8th grade early on, and it saves them a lot of money. We try to educate everyone, which all it does is basically perpetuate a system where you're spending unnecessary money because you have seniors graduating from high school, they still can't read. So we're spending a lot of unnecessary money. And if you look at the national standards where by state, you know, you will see the failing rates over and over and over again. And as an educator myself, you know, you question, what are we doing even with that? You know, are we really making any progress?
Let me ask you one question, since you're an educator. When we look at the school system, and in my area, I'm in Texas.
Okay.
The school nearest me has really, and I'm not prejudiced anybody, please understand that, but I'm just looking at what makes sense and what doesn't make sense. The majority of the students there are Hispanic.
Okay.
And that has just happened the last 5 years or so. And so I'm looking at, all of them are probably not comprehending on the grade level that they're at, which is going to slow down the class. So are we spending more money to educate when we shouldn't be? Because, I mean, just because you get here does not mean that we owe you anything. Does that make
exactly.
sense? And
yeah,
for
I mean,
some reason we're
we
educating
have,
people just because they cross the border. That's crazy.
Your mother crosses
the border. She has you here, so therefore we owe you a free education.
Exactly.
It makes no sense to me.
And what Steve said, you know, which he wasn't talking about this issue, when you asked him how did we get here, one of the reasons we got here because a lot of policies that we have, passed, you know, I mean decades ago, you know, America wanted to be different. They wanted to be unique. So we allowed this liberty, this freedom, to come here. And I'm not, you know, by no means am I against immigration, but at some point we have to, like every other country does, put limits on something, you know, before it get out of hand. And it has gotten out of hand, not only with immigration. I mean, we didn't think about how we're going to educate everyone. You know, we do not have, even though we speak English here, we do not have a mandated language in America. So what that does is that when everyone come over here, we have to try to teach them English. Like, say, for instance, for a teacher that wants to teach English as a second language, what that educator has to do, they don't teach them. There's no way you can teach them every language or even their dialect. So it's too many languages. So with that being said, it's like they adopt the philosophy like in I had a professor always tell us, well, you don't need a car to drive in Memphis, but it's useful to have one. So you don't necessarily know how to speak whatever language you're speaking, but it will be helpful. So
are we feeding everybody else before we're feeding our own family?
Yes.
I mean,
absolutely.
Even in our country, we're taking care of everybody else before we're taking care of home.
Absolutely. And, you know, our First Lady, I love Michelle. She basically, she touched on that. She had an issue. She said, you know, we're concerned with foreign nations and their hunger and everything. And we have Americans right around from, you know, citizens right around the corner from the White House. And if anyone ever been to Washington, you have probably seen this. They have cleaned it up. But if you would have went there, like, I don't know, early 90s, you would have seen it. And, I mean, large numbers. I mean, the numbers was astronomical where you saw homeless people living right around the corner from the White House. And we see this every, you can go to any state, you will see this. So we have a serious issues, and a lot of it comes from basically like Steve said, we are putting the wrong people in office.
Yeah.
I really have nothing against this administration, the current administration. Mm-hmm. I'm a Democrat, but at any rate, I feel like Obama probably should have had, instead of pushing health care, he should have pushed a job. You know, he should have, employment should have been his main focus because everything else would have fallen in place. However,
you know,
we
said,
cannot.
You said, and I'm quoting this from what they said, the Black Caucus, but I don't know. I got to look up the comment to make certain he said it, but I believe if they quoted it, he did. They said that Obama said the best way to bring jobs back to African Americans is to improve the economy. So it's just as though we are not even on the radar.
It's not. And what they're saying is true. I mean, Republicans, a lot of people do not know. The administration, you know, they are basically. They have a lot of bills in office. I mean, that they're basically trying to, as we speak, you know, trying to take voting rights and a lot of other things that a lot of Americans do not know. The main reason why we're in the situation we're in is because Americans, I mean, to be honest, we are just, you know, we do not have the knowledge that we need to know about our legal system and our politics. We will just vote for whoever because of whatever you know, political party they are part of, and that's a problem. We need to, you know, do research, see who's doing what. Go to those states in which they have, you know, served in and basically look at the books. I mean, going to City Hall, seeing what they did, the budget, seeing where money go to. If you look at these budgets that they do, these line item budgets for these states and cities, they're so vague, you know, and if you look at them, you can see how much so much money gets stolen a year by these politicians, and it's ridiculous. You know, it's a lot of hidden tax, and we are, as Americans, we need to become very, very, you know, vigilant in that manner and trying to understand the different issues that we are facing each and every day and not just vote for whoever, you know, because they're going to do this.
But speaking of the voting thing, and I like Obama, but if he cannot get anything done, are we wasting a vote to put him back in? I mean, and black people really need to think about that. It's not about color. When you're thinking about you are next, like two paychecks from being in the soup line, and you're voting just based on color. If he cannot get anything done, if he's up there just as a black man, and every time he takes something to the table, they shoot him down, that's not helping us. And if he's not,
it's not. No, it's not. And he's getting a lot. And if you just look at him, you can see how much stress he's under.
Oh, yeah.
But what I do, you know, with Americans, we need to realize that Obama is not, you know, he's not this superpower where he can just fix everything. It did not take the Bush administration overnight to make it terrible, so they shouldn't expect Obama to fix it. If it took him 8 years to mess it up, I mean, hey, and I mean, he just finished off, in my opinion, what his father did. So we're spending a lot of money in the war. We're spending unnecessary money with
well,
the troops over there.
When Obama goes in and fixes something that ain't broke, like don't ask, don't tell. I'll be honest
exactly.
with you, I could care less if you're gay or not in the military. Do not
exactly,
get me wrong.
Exactly, me too.
That wasn't even on the radar, in my opinion. So why did
exactly.
he go and do that? It's just certain things that he's just addressed. The gay issue, I don't know if that's because he knows that they can help him put him back up in office.
Exactly.
I
think that's exactly what it was. I think his back was against the wall, and he's trying to pull as many, you know, groups as he can or, you know, people. But the issue is, like Steve said, another one, a big one that a lot of Americans do not think about. We want to get all, you know, sentimental on this issue. I'm not going to say we need to legalize drugs, but we need to decriminalize it. And what I mean is this. You know, if you go to any state, and I mean I've been to several court systems, and what I constantly see, you have drug dealers getting more time than murderers. I mean, when did drugs become a, you know, that big of a deal? My thing is that these drugs that we have, these issues, they don't go in America. So when war is going on, drugs are able to get in the states. And believe me, our politicians, they're aware of that. So
but let me ask you, is Obama taking our vote for granted, though? If he's worried about the gay people putting them back in office, is he assuming and just taking for granted that black people are going to put them back in office?
I think he's trying to get, you know, some leverage anywhere he can. And, I mean, I can't say that I blame him because he's, you know, they're really giving it to him from every angle. But like I said, I think his administration did not plan it well. What they should have done was, like I said, employment should have been the biggest. It should have been the main goal. You know, but he didn't. I don't think he just thought about it. I think he, you know, looked at his supporters, and he did what every politician do. They cater to their little their parties, the people that their constituents that put them in office. He know that people are on retirement. You know, it was the senior citizens that voted for him. There were students, and if you notice, if anyone pay attention, we have the Republican administration basically. They are targeting those groups, students, gays, you know, they're targeting those, that's all the bills that they're trying to pass is to basically take away the voting rights of those different groups. So I don't know. And a lot of the American, you know, the general public, they are not aware of this. They're going to get hit with it in 2012. They have not done their homework. Half of us do not even understand how the political process works.
And Steve, jump in whenever you want. I really think in 2012, though, black folks, and I'm just speaking for black folks because I'm black.
Okay,
we
as well.
Going to the polls.
We do.
Really,
more knowledgeable.
We need to look at records. You know, we need to look at how they have treated our community. I mean, even speaking of
exactly.
Obama, I love him to death, like I said, but it's not I don't vote personally. I vote based on record and what you've done. I haven't seen him do anything for our community. I mean,
I haven't seen it. I
agree
with you. He hasn't done what he said he would do. You know, I'm not charging him with saying that he is the creation of all of it, but what I am saying is that he did not do, he hasn't shown anything for the black community at all.
Yeah, you're right.
It's ridiculous.
Right.
And I don't
understand
how he took us. I mean, that's almost as though he doesn't even consider us to have helped him get in, which I know we went to the poll
well,
in large numbers.
I don't think he's that, though.
Can I speak on that point real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I was just quietly letting. I don't want to hog the phone lines and nothing like that. That's disrespectful. But I mean, we were excited in 2008. I can't really blame people. People were excited, and they're so tired of Bush. McCain looked just like Bush. I mean, his forehead.
Yes, he does.
So people were excited, and then you had the white guilt issue. They want people wanted to prove they weren't racist, so they vote. I don't have a problem with people voting for Obama. The thing was, see, Clinton was a moderate.
Yeah.
Obama's not a moderate. See,
no, he's not.
So people had an idea that when Clinton came in, Democrats would be more of a moderate type. But see, Obama, see, with the he believes in green technology and go green and energy with independence. And this is our energy costs are so – Donald Trump was talking about our energy costs are so high. We have crumbling roads and bridges. We have the top tenth of 1%, the Warren Buffett's, paying a lesser tax rate than his secretary. We have the half of America right now don't even pay any federal income taxes. So, I mean, the tax system needs to be reformed, too. And like she said, we've got 800 bases, military bases around the world, 400,000 troops in Europe. Europe is a rich area of the world. Why do we have 400,000 troops in Europe?
No need.
We're spending over $1 trillion a year on the military, you know,
and we,
at a time when we have nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
We have nukes. We have nuclear, we have non-nuclear weapons that can destroy a whole city. We have nuclear weapons. We don't need to do these land-based expensive. They can even hire mercenaries from Africa to fight in our military for a fraction of the cost. And then when they come out of service, you got to pay them veteran benefits for the rest of their life. So what I'm saying is our costs are so high, we either need to reduce costs or we need to raise wages. So pick your poison. Because, see, if we keep going on the trajectory, we're going to spend $120 trillion. Oh, baby boomers. Baby boomers. I need to talk about baby boomers.
And pay them $5 an hour instead of paying us $14 over here. We know how we know how they do that.
The outsourcing.
Yeah, we have military bases, 800 around the world. What I'm saying is they have a lot of these soldiers doing simple tasks like taking boxes from a warehouse. A lot of civilian type of jobs that we don't need to be paying expensive. My auntie was in Kuwait making $90,000 a year, tax-free, working in a hot warehouse. Why are we spending money like that on her when it's our tax money and the average citizen over here is making $40,000 a year? Why are we spending $90,000 a year for her to go work in a hot warehouse when a civilian in Kuwait could do that job? What I'm saying is there's so much money being spent, and then we have baby boomers retiring. This is the biggest issue I never covered yet. When baby boomers get older, when people get older, they spend less money, which means consumption goes down.
Mm-hmm.
So consumption is going down as well because they're saving money for retirement.
Yeah.
When really, if baby boomers would spend more money, the economy would come back alive. So at a time of your deficit, you also have baby boomers retiring about 10,000 a day. It'll cost $120 trillion to fund their Social Security and Medicare. And so we're between a rock and a hard place, meaning we're between hyperinflation or doing cuts, dramatic cuts like Canada did in 1995. But the cuts Canada did in 1995 actually grew their economy. Now their dollar is worth more than our dollar. So the issue is we, like I said, folks, we either need to get these energy costs and all these health care, we need to get costs down. Our wages need to go up to compensate for us. $4 a gallon, and what's going to be, $7 a gallon?
Our current president have a plan to fix it? Because
he doesn't. He doesn't have a plan. He's a celebrity.
Yes, exactly.
He makes you feel good. And I don't blame people for
that.
But at the same time, we need a plan to get us out. I don't care if it's ugly and no woman wants him. We need a guy with a plan, folks. And I'm sorry. I know everybody was excited about Obama.
With a plan.
I was excited about Obama 2008. You know, I'm sorry,
you know,
folks.
I really wasn't. And me being black and understanding where we have came from in the United States. And I've never just been big on, you know, race because I think we weigh too much on it. You know, I understand that, you know, it was a big monumental thing in history. I understand that. But I saw this coming because I honestly, in my opinion, I think Barack Obama was placed in the White House
Girl,
to take
elected...
majority of the blame that has
okay, y'all,
happened.
Listen. Y'all hold on. Let me go to another caller, and we're going to all weigh in on this.
Okay.
Area code 111. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
What do you expect Obama to do in terms of creating jobs?
What do we expect him to do? We expect him to create some. What do you mean?
Just like my question said. How?
But, I mean, isn't that why we put him in there, because we thought he knew how?
Well, I don't know why you put him in there.
I mean, we put him in there.
I think it was white guilt. I think white guilt put him in the White House. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, obviously the whites put Obama in, because if you blacks all voted for him, it wouldn't have mattered, because you're only about 14% of the population anyway. So it wasn't your vote that put him in there.
We elected. This is the thing. This will shock a lot of people on listening to this show. We elected a socialist and not a Democrat. What I mean by that is a true Democrat is anti-war. We elected a socialist, folks. But I'm independent, so don't get mad at me. But I'm just telling you, a true Democrat is anti-war. Now we have five wars.
Mm-hmm.
We have five wars now.
But we have an issue. Not to cut anyone off. Our issue in America is this. The moment, you know, and I know this has been since the beginning of time, back when we had the Federalists and the Democrats, but we have an issue. When we all stopped being Americans, when we lost that identity and became separate, and we're no longer united.
Well, you know, what
he needs to make jobs, and that should have been his main agenda, the same way.
But how do you expect him
plan?
To make jobs? He lied all throughout his campaign.
Well, I can tell you one way we can create some jobs for Americans. Let's just say that. First of all, we should stop allowing people to come here from other countries, and we give them money to start businesses before we give Americans money to start small businesses. That's one problem.
Oh.
Well, illegal
immigrants.
Oh,
ladies, I didn't even tell you, ladies. Ladies, we have the lowest small business creation since 1983. So instead of people starting businesses, they're buying gold. Gold is over $6 trillion now.
Wow.
Well,
and it's going up daily.
How do you expect Obama to start jobs? And even if he does, do you realize that the more jobs he creates, the worse it is for America? That's the point I'm getting to.
Well, you know what?
What do you mean the more jobs he creates, it's worse for America? How is that?
Yeah, let's say you were talking about $1 trillion spent for the war. I'm going to assume that everybody here thinks that if you took the $1 trillion which are spent on these illegal, immoral wars, that if they were redirected towards education and job creation, that it would be better for America, correct? Okay. So the more money that they spend, the federal government will spend on anything, the more money they have to borrow from the Federal Reserve, which means the more money that has to go back to repaying the debt. The more money that doesn't go back to repaying the debt, because the federal government will have a deficit, that means the debt will keep accumulating. It will get worse for America. Plus,
we were saying that for him to – we was not saying, like, basically use that – we were saying use the money that we're basically using somewhere else. And we wouldn't have to use as much as we are using – for war, and the money that we gave for
it wouldn't matter.
The bail of banks out.
It wouldn't matter.
It would matter.
I see what you're saying. I can answer this question for you. We have $42 trillion in household debt. He's talking about the $42 trillion. We need to cut these. We need to cut the debt. We need to cut the debt and get the banks. I don't even think we need to have private banks in this country. They have caused so many problems, folks. I'm almost thinking the government should own them, because they're causing too many issues.
The private banks aren't the problem. It's the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve. The private banks you need. The Federal Reserve.
We're giving the government too much power, to be honest. I mean, like,
But you're asking the government to help you out by continuing to do that.
But no, what I'm saying was the government is there for one thing, and I think Roosevelt – and not a president, his cousin, said it well, okay? Basically, the government is there as a liaison to do one thing, to basically keep balance between the common people and the corporations, so the corporations don't take over, you know, and don't misuse the people, and that's exactly what they are doing. You have
exactly.
majority
the fascist,
of America's wealth, and
it's a fascist government.
It's ridiculous.
It's a fascist government. The corporations own the government. And the government,
exactly.
And the government, because of the regulatory agencies, is promoting the work of the corporations. If you keep government down to only a couple of functions, in my opinion, just national defense and perhaps overseeing the judicial system, then America would prosper as it did back in the 50s.
First of all, we gotta start with what we can fix. It's certain things right here and now we can fix. Employers that hire illegal immigrants, that's a no-no. I mean, if you're caught doing that, you penalize them. And every time they're caught again, you penalize them again. And I mean hefty fines. Because really, there should not be people coming over here working that don't have proper documentation, period.
I don't like immigration at all. I don't like illegals or legal immigration. I believe in serious. I don't like immigrants at all. People who were born in a country, they're lucky. If they're lucky enough to be born in a country like the United States was supposed to be, then we're lucky. We should benefit from our natural resources, from our innovation, from our colleges, from our high schools. If you let all types of immigration here, number one, the more people that are inside a nation's borders, the more natural resources have to be used in order to provide for them hospitals, roads, sewage plants, etc. I don't want immigrants.
But you know what?
You got a point.
We got to start taking it back little by little. And some things we can fix. They can fix those kinds of things. Well, you know, we should boycott businesses that do that. If your business hires illegal immigrants and not Americans, you should be boycotted. I don't care what you're selling.
Yeah, but you know what you're saying?
The outsourcing of the job.
You're saying
outsourcing as well. I had to call customer service for my computer today. And Toshiba sent me to somebody who I couldn't even understand.
India.
And we went off for 30 minutes back and forth, me just trying to understand what she's saying. We should demand that when we call your customer service line, we be able to understand who the heck we're talking to.
But ladies, they get tax credits for offshoring jobs.
Exactly.
That's on the books.
I was going to say that.
But this is the thing. This is the thing a lot of people don't know, too. In 2008, if we would have grew the economy just by a good pace, right now the balance be balanced. The problem was we didn't grow the economy. And so entitlements is not an issue if you grow the economy. Well, we haven't.
You can.
So that's
what
people.
Brought that up.
You have to do research.
I think you guys should take a look at David. Oh, now his name just escapes me. Anyway, he used to be the Comptroller General of the United States. I think it was David Clark. David Walker, sorry. He went on a speaking tour for 4 years. He said the economy has to grow by double digits for 75 years in order for our economy to be back to where it used to be. Or either that, or we have to cut taxes in half, or stop spending by the politicians. Guess what? None of it's happened. None of it's going to happen.
Yeah.
We're in the dump.
Well, I wouldn't say going
you
to
have
happen.
A revolution.
You'll have a revolution.
It's still coming. It's coming soon.
I see people in the town that I live in just trying to do a legal hustle, if you want to call it that. Let's just say a person has 50 garage sales a year. As long as they don't mind dragging their stuff on the front lawn, I don't care. But here, our city says, you know what, you can only have 3 a year, and you got to get a permit each time. And if we catch you after that, then we're going to penalize you. That's just wrong.
Yeah, I was going to address that. I mean, yard sales are just a little bit of a symptom of what's happening here in America when I said it's here. There are a lot of draconian measures being implemented and imposed upon Americans now. If you take a look around, for example, are you aware of one particular ruling which happened about six weeks ago in Indiana where a cop can actually bust down your door without a warrant and you're not allowed to resist?
Yeah, I'm in Indiana, brother.
You're
right.
You know about it.
Yeah, a cop can bust down your door without a warrant.
That's right.
You see, what's going on is our civil rights being taken away from us.
Yes.
And that's
and
another issue. But that's separate
it.
From the economy, though. That's kind of separate from the economy. But,
that,
you know,
that,
it's a major issue.
The New World Order. And so, I mean, when you really look at the way that things are going, though, when you're looking at the fact that they said that in the last 4 years since the housing burst, about 5 million homes have been foreclosed upon. Mm-hmm. About 2.4 million primary mortgages were in foreclosure at the end of last year, and another 2 million were 90 days or more past due, putting them at serious risk of foreclosure. When people are losing homes and losing cars and losing things because there's no job, it's just a matter of time before there is a revolution.
Yes.
Well, yeah, because wages haven't gone
up. Americans are going to,
because,
I mean, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Wages haven't gone up. Wages haven't gone up. See, that's an issue. See, wages determine the price of housing. So what I've been trying to tell people, if the corporation raise the wages, then we need to cut the prices. The banks own about a half a million homes. The government owns about a half a million homes that they paid for through TARP. They need to cut the prices. Or raise the wages. We need to reduce spending in America, the interest rates, all of it. Or we need to raise the wages. Otherwise, you're between a rock and a hard place, and that's what we have right now.
I know you're talking about raising the minimum wage, but if you raise the minimum wage, and a lot of
it hurts the young people.
Huh?
Yeah. You hurt the young people. Plus, how are you going to raise the minimum wage when they won't even give you a loan? When the banks won't even give you a loan if you're a decent business. So we gave them all this bailout money, and they won't even loan a decent business money that's been doing business for decades.
The Federal Reserve.
They're cutting off liquid.
Too much power. At the end of that, I mean.
The Federal Reserve is paying banks not to lend. They're paying banks have what's called excess reserves. And the Federal Reserve is paying them something like 0.25%, which doesn't sound like much, in order to keep those reserves on reserve. But they're paying, the Federal Reserve has as the prime rate something like 0%. The reason why we're in the dumper is because the Federal Reserve wants us to get into the dumper. The economics and the stripping away of civil liberties are intertwined, in my opinion, because...
Yes, they are.
You know, because if economic... If we don't get good wages, we're not going to get good wages, right? And that means that inflation is coming. Interest rates are going to rise, and people are going to say, F you, and they're going to get a little angry.
But remember,
and the revolution is going
to
occur.
Well, I think the globalists want the people to get angry, because when the people get angry, then
they
can take over industries. In Europe, what happened with socialism was... they would take over entire industries, take the profits from those industries, and then fund the government causes to help the poor. But I think that is, you know, we got $1.6 trillion sitting on the sidelines because of uncertainty. And see, if you have total government, they come in, they'll seize that. So what I'm saying, I think it might be a revolution, but we can fix America, all the solutions I talked about earlier, but the chances of all that happening is so slim that they'll fix all this. It's not likely. And health care, Obamacare, why didn't they address the drug costs in Obamacare? Why didn't they address illegal immigrants going into the emergency room? Do you know how much... that raises the health care costs for everybody else when illegal immigrants have a baby in the emergency room?
And we really need to
understand.
You said it before.
Seriously, having a baby is not an emergency care issue. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so just because you cross the border does not mean that you are entitled to have your baby here. There's so many things we can fix. And our government makes it sound like we're inhumane if we say no to somebody. No, when they...
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
That's our problem. America said yes too much, and now they can't. You know, you can say yes once, twice, and before you know it, it gets out of control, and that's what has happened. And then another thing, Americans, we are just not literate or knowledgeable enough, I should say, about our rights. We can fix this. The people can fix this. We just don't know that we can fix it. We have the right to basically remove everyone from government, but we will not implement.
But the media is what we don't control. We don't control the media. The media determines.
Yeah, exactly. They determine who gets, oh, who won the Republican primary, who won the Democrat primary. The media controls that. I believe in direct democracy. Direct democracy means we all vote on the big issues.
I don't agree with that because I understand your feeling about that because in Switzerland they have that type of process in a minor way, you know, the referendum type of process where you get direct democracy.
Yeah.
But what happens is that in direct democracy, which is something the founding fathers didn't want, was that if you have, let's say, 200 people, or let's say 200,000 people in the community voting on something, okay, 51% of them vote for a certain issue within direct democracy, then the rest of the 49% have to follow the dictates of that 51%.
But we're doing it now. I'd rather do it that way than vote, and we're still, our vote really, you can almost say, is not counting where you
have
10%.
That's what we have now, brother.
At least
there
will be the majority. The majority,
You don't want majority vote. Look,
I mean,
for example,
but we have a minority vote now that's running things.
What I'm saying is constitutional republic.
Yeah.
Because he's saying, I'm not going to talk about abolishing the Constitution. I'm talking about adding direct democracy on top of the constitutional republic. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you have to find by the Constitution.
If you have communities, small communities, in a way I'm for it, but I'm not really for it because, again, I think all communities, I'm for individual contracts. I'm a libertarian, but I'm actually a anarcho-capitalist. I believe in individual contracts. I believe that if I and you agree on something and we put it in writing, I don't want anybody's law from some place called D.C. coming along and saying, well, I'm sorry, but that contract you signed, that we don't agree with it.
You're almost an anarchist. I got you.
I don't know. We need to do something. That's all I know, and maybe a lot of great minds will come up with something, but we need to do something. We need to do it fast because the deficit is growing, and,
Going into 2012, into this election, we got to send a clear message. We are the ones that put you there, and we can take you out.
Let me ask you a question. If you're not going to vote for Obama again, who are you going to vote for of the candidates that you think are good?
I think that's why we're watching the debates and seeing what they're saying, and we need to check their voting
records. Watching them.
I'm thinking about Ron Paul because a lot. Really, the only thing I don't agree on is his free trade. He's a liberal.
He's a libertarian. I'm a Ron Paul supporter. That's what my show's all about. I'm
really?
A Ron Paul guy. Okay, he's for individual liberty.
So that's who you're voting.
Yeah, Ron Paul. And the reason is probably, I don't think we have too much time on your show, but if your caller, your panelist, he can talk to you about Ron Paul, I'm sure. The thing is that if we don't have power at all, you can write your congressman all day long, but if you're not going to give him $1 million for his campaign contribution, you honestly think he's going to listen to you?
But you know what, though?
I think he will.
You're going to let them run it? No, we run it by our vote.
You think you do?
I'm not going to say we run it by our vote, but if enough, their strength in numbers, and I mean, that's what we need to remember as Americans.
It's not going to happen with 10. Okay, we put you in there so you can just do whatever you want for 4 years. No, I tell you what, I think in my opinion that every vote that they take up there should be recorded, and there should be a website that we can go and look at every
vote.
Don't
take my idea away from me. I've been talking about that for over a year.
Oh, you can.
They
got websites where you can review every candidate and every vote they ever took.
I'm looking for it because I want to know if they were present. Did they vote? And then how did they vote?
Well, not just the candidates. I'm talking about my idea was that you go inside the polling places, and you put in your vote. You can be an electronic machine, but you get a receipt.
Yeah.
You get a receipt. You keep one part. You keep one side. You hand in the other side of the other part of the receipt to the poll workers, and then you have those votes put up on the website so that you can check your vote up against what's there on the website to make sure that all of our votes.
It should be public knowledge.
By the way, we also invited Herman Cain, who's the black Republican.
You don't want him. You do not want.
He got problem. I got problems with Kane too.
He, look, he worked.
He
for
used
the
to work for
Reserve.
The Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and if you take a look at his being the head of a Godfather pizza, you can't find any information.
Talking about it, but we did invite Mr. K. We really did.
Oh, you did? Oh, I want to tell him he's on. I want to ask him some real good questions.
We did invite him because we wanted to know, you know, he's running for president. You know, what does he want to know?
Yeah.
What can he do?
Yeah, he used to work for the Federal Reserve, so I...
No, I'm not for
Kane. I don't know.
I'm not for Kane, no.
Please, okay.
No, the Federal Reserve... Yeah, he
table.
Worked for him. That kind of scared me.
Yeah. I work for Federal Reserve. Get the hell out of here. You know.
Yeah, the banks, I think, folks, the banks, our interest rates that we're paying on our loans are just, oh, my God, it's just too high. This country can be easily fixed. I think it's just, like
yeah,
you said, I think the politicians are more of the problem than the fixing the problem.
You
but
mentioned the reason before. You said
rating.
Globalists.
They- keep interest rates low through mid-13. Didn't they just say that?
Yeah. And don't vote for Mitt Romney. Oh, my God. He.
Oh,
Perry.
Oh, y'all don't know. Y'all don't know Rick Perry. I'm just saying, check his voting record.
No, don't vote
out.
For Rick Perry.
Don't vote for. You want me to give you a little outline about Rick Perry? I have 14.
I think he's gay.
Yeah, he might be too. Yeah. There's an article written about 14 reasons why you don't vote for Rick Perry.
I'm listening.
One of them is because I'm not looking at the article. I'll give you one off the top of my head, which is important. You know, I'm assuming nobody likes to get patted down when they go travel by air, right? You
right.
might get groped a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. Well, in Texas, there was an anti-groping bill, anti-groping against the TSA, which came up. In the House, unanimously it passed, okay? In the Senate, only one person voted against it, but Perry, through the lieutenant governor, squashed the bill.
Oh.
Secondly, he went to Bilderberg. That's enough.
Oh, that's true, too. And you know what? And let me tell you this. Since he has been, first he was our lieutenant governor, and now, you know, he's our governor. He was the lieutenant governor under George Bush. And so when George Bush became president, he became the governor. And he's been governor ever since. Well, y'all know how long ago that was when Bush became president. Well, anyway, there has not been one person that has gone up on death row since he's been there that he's even looked at the pardon. I mean, period. He just doesn't do that. So I don't, you know, he calls himself a Christian, but I haven't seen much of it. And I'm just being honest. Since I've been living here, the Rick Perry is done. I mean, really. And he talked about seceding from the union because he got mad at some things that Obama had done. And he also turned down the stimulus money when it was offered to Texas, because he was mad at Obama. So to me, he does things from a personal standpoint, and we don't need people that are emotional in the White House. We want people who are sound-minded and makes decisions based on sound judgment. And sometimes some of his votes just don't seem to do that.
He's kind of crazy. But another thing, two people I need to let everybody know, because I didn't know this until I looked it up. The federal government owns 685 million acres of land.
Wow.
Folks, they don't need to be owning all that land. I don't even know what they're doing on that land. 685 million acres. You may be able to pay off the national debt just by selling.
Well,
that was a libertarian platform years ago. It was saying if you sold off federal land, you could pay the debt back then.
Wow.
Back about
you know,
10 years ago, something like that.
Why don't we, you know, when they said that they couldn't balance the budget, why is it that we did not demand that we look at the books? Maybe we need to send in some independent accountants, you know, that can look at it and see if there's some fat that can be cut. We did not make a big enough issue of that.
We have it. The CBO does that. David Walker, who was head of the Comptroller General. He was Comptroller General and head of the accounting office.
Our people. We the people choose who we going to send in.
You know what? It's going to be nice.
No, actually, their budget is publicized. It's thousands and thousands of pages, folks. But, I mean, 685 million acres of land. And guess what? You cannot drill oil on that land.
That's right.
You cannot. Folks, we need to drill for more oil. That is a simple fix right there. And see, they're talking about, we need to buy more hybrid cars.
Are they drilling for oil in Indiana yet?
I don't think
so. I don't think
they're
No.
There's very little oil drilling. Only 5% of the land in America is oil. You can drill oil. 95% is off limits due to the Environmental Protection Agency. We all know Obama's an environmentalist. But what I was saying at the beginning of the show is, even
well,
if all new cars sold
here,
were hybrid.
And that's not
yeah,
all
yeah,
the
yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's not all the yeah. Space. Seriously, all the drill. Yeah. I understand. If they're not drilling in your area, you may not understand. But trust me, it's a whole lot of people getting beat out of their oil rights with this drilling. And nobody's protecting them, and the government didn't give you any warning. And I'm just going to be brief on this. In my area, what they did when they came in to Dallas and Fort Worth, what they did is they went to the hoods first because they know what? People are uneducated. They're not savvy about business. And they offered those people less than a third of what they ended up offering the people across town who lived in the bougie neighborhoods. So that's taking advantage of people. But
I don't agree with underpaying for land. But what I was basically saying is they own 685 million acres of land. We don't need to move any private property off of their private land. We need to drill on this federal land. Most of it, they don't even cut the grass on a lot of this land. They don't even do maintenance on a lot of this land.
We're
talking about problems that are there's simple solutions to this problem. The corporations just got us all mixed up.
But if we know that the globalists, and I happen to believe that the New World Order, if it's not here, it's coming. You know, there's a good documentary called The Invisible Empire for those who don't believe in a New World Order. It shows proof. The thing is that they're already here. If they're already here, or if they're coming, or let's say the New World Order doesn't exist, the government's corrupt enough so that it's taken away everybody's power and everybody's rights. In order for us, American citizens, to do something, we have to get together. We have to become like a union. That's not going to happen.
I agree. If you just tuned in, you come center stage tonight. We're talking about where are the jobs. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening in via the Internet, dial in at 347-850-8390. And, again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open tonight. So if you have a question or a comment, if you would post it up in chat, put it in red. I will come to it before the end of the hour. See, let me ask you all something. With unemployment, they're saying, in the black community at 16.8% and unemployment in the white community at 8.2%, which we know every time they give us numbers, they're always lower than that. Don't y'all see like the revolution is closer than we think? Because if there's not enough jobs and they're closing down legitimate hustles and
there's so many conspiracies. The 2012, I know everybody saw the little documentaries about 2012. It could be. They could make it come true. It could be. 2012 could be hell on earth. It really could.
Yeah,
you know what? You're
really
saying that, but I've had people that come on this show like Jordan Maxwell and Lindsay Williams who say exactly that. They say that basically things are building, and what's going to happen is if you're living in the city, the revolution is going to be in the city. You need to be outside the city living by the time everything hits.
My family owns farmland. Yeah, they're getting prepared for the issues. But yeah, I mean, folks, we have the United Nations around here. I see foreign soldiers in New York City. They have the swine flu vaccine. I think they're going to come out with it again. Yeah. Bioweapons. This world is bees dying everywhere. This world is upside down, and I don't know if we can be revitalized, but that's why I put my faith in God. Yeah, I put your faith in God because at the end of the day, if this is an oligarchy like I really think it is, it's very difficult to change it. So
yeah, it's getting worse.
And
it's not getting
that's
better.
When a small group of people run everything.
Well, they have all the money. I mean, it all boils down to the Rothschilds, too. Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. I mean, some people might think the Rothschilds is a figment of other people's imagination, but the Rothschilds are mentioned in long-ago official historical documents. The Rothschilds have been doing this money changing for 300 years. They own the world.
But let's talk about some of the solutions on how to...
Yeah, and the Rockefellers, too, folks.
Yeah.
The old grand Rockefeller, back in 150 years ago, he brought up the medical schools.
They got a book by Dr. Russell Blaylock. He wrote a book talking about how Rockefeller bought up the medical schools back 150 years ago. They were on a holistic system. He switched the medical schools over to a drug-based system. And so now people are getting more back into holistics, you know, the apple cider vinegar, all that stuff. And so I think a lot of these problems were on purpose. And, you know, the United Nations, and if you notice, the last president to really care about the border was the same last president that balanced the budget, which was Dwight Eisenhower. He actually had Operation Wetback, where he deported hundreds of thousands of illegals back into Mexico. He balanced the budget, which was 55 years ago. So after then, Dwight Eisenhower, on his way out of office, he warned against the military-industrial complex as well.
And I'm glad you were talking about Eisenhower balancing the budget, because people think that Clinton and Reagan did it, and they didn't. They borrowed from the Social Security Fund to make it seem as though they did.
Well, let me ask you this. Remember back in the Depression, people were bartering because there was not any money? And so don't you think we need to go back to everybody needs to have a skill, something that sets them aside from everybody else? Because at least if you got a skill, if you're an electrician or if you're a plumber, you know, at least you can do something to barter for goods. Don't you see where we're coming to that, where you're going to need to be able to do something? Because if there's no money, if nobody has any money, at least you can barter.
Yeah, you can barter with food, farmland, and that's George Soros sold a lot of his gold, and he's buying farmland right now. I think farmland, the price is going to go up.
Yeah.
And so this is we're coming to a time where you can get extremely rich if the economy does collapse, but you have to have money to participate in the investments. If you don't have anything to invest and you're stuck in the inner city, and see, the revolution comes where there's more people that do not have. The people that have, and what will end up happening is you'll have, like, total government. They'll just take over industries. And see, government never dies. People, they keep talking about, well, if the dollar dies, then the government dies. No, government for 4,000 years always grows bigger. When this country first started, the budget was like $6 million. This country has grown by 60,000,000% since this started out, having a budget. So what I'm saying is government doesn't get smaller, and now we're asking people to come in next year, after 2013, after the election, come in and deal with this budget. I mean, when was the last time somebody balanced the budget? It was Dwight Eisenhower. So we're asking a lot out of politicians, and if it doesn't happen, then I think, like the civil unrest you talked about, probably will happen. Shootouts, bioweapon releases, and I'll
be false flags and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, releasing bioweapons, and then you'll be so sick that you can't even fight. And then the troops, I'll talk about writing a book, you know, the Chinese troops from the east has an antidote, the Mexican troops from the south have the antidote, the Canadian troops from the north have the antidote. But you don't have the antidote, and you're sick. You're so sick you can't even fight because they release a bioweapon. So there's ways the government can control people without – people think the government's going to go door-to-door and shoot them and take their guns. They don't have to do all that. They can release a bioweapon.
Well, they're doing that when you're seeing the birds falling out of the sky and the fish dying. They're testing the bioweapons now.
Well, they also have other slow kills, too. Do you know about the 200 to 300 X-ray vans? There are mobile X-ray vans that can penetrate 14 inches of steel. They're around there in your neighborhood.
Your car, your automobile, just like the TSA. The TSA is the beginning of that, you know, at the airport. And so we could be at fulfilling a Bible. I hope we're not. But if we are, then we just have to have faith in God. But if we're at the point where we're going to fulfill the Bible and all this hell is going to break loose, folks, you better get back to church and get it together.
Get right.
It's gonna be hell on earth.
That's true.
Gonna be hell on earth for real. The Bible said more tyranny than ever has been. He said more. What was it? He said there'll be more more drama than ever has been. So we're talking about total collapse, and I hope it doesn't happen in my lifetime, but it could be right across the corner.
here. Because, you know, the thing is, though, it's a matter of time, though. Seriously, if you have and the next person does not have, what is going to happen eventually? I mean, people, you know, one of the things I always say is when somebody says, I'm going to do what I got to do, watch out, because that means they could hit you up. I mean, so when you get through, you're not going to keep having people, groups of people who don't have anything, and then you have this other group of people, you know, saying, you know, how great life is.
You won't even be able to go to work. You won't even be able, there'll be so many people getting robbed on their way to work by the people that don't have. If this whole economy collapses and all these conspiracies about 2012, if they come true, you won't even be able to go to work.
Oh, yeah.
You'll have troops in the streets. You'll have martial law, all hell breaking loose. You'd be robbed five ways a Sunday, because every time you stop somewhere, somebody's going to be begging for food and they're going to be robbing. So we have to get we have to get this country back on track.
Well, that's why
and
we can't club this election coming up. I mean, we got with the elections that come.
The easiest answer that I've been talking about.
We absolutely got to make the right choices.
Yeah. Okay. So what's
I
your
hope
choice?
We do.
So who's your choice?
I think
who's
mine's Ron Paul.
Yeah, that's the whole
they're
thing.
They're still looking at.
I'm still looking, because you know what? I want to know everything about you. I mean, seriously, I want
to
know everything about you.
Go to checkitout.org.
Popping up like, you know, Bachman and Sarah Palin. Those are not even good options, people. I mean, seriously, those are not even good options.
Then go
Chief of Secret Arrests. And, yeah, go checkitout.org. Yeah, we have candidates that's for secret arrests.
Ooh.
Imagine somebody come and snatch you up and take you off to Cuba or somewhere else and torture you because you were just for guarding
the
borders, or you were
being a patriot. People want to check out all the other candidates, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what's going to happen is when you finish checking them out, you're either going to vote for a Democrat or a Republican, unless you vote for an independent. My solution is just vote for an independent, because if you want the clean sweep that everybody says they want, you got to get rid of the Democrats and the Republicans. You have to get rid of both parties.
Yeah, but you know what the problem with that is. That Donald Trump runs as an independent, like he's not running, but he came back on TV. A lot of people keep telling me he's not running. He came back on Fox News and said if there's a weak candidate, he will run. I think Obama may get reelected if Donald Trump does run. But so if you vote independent, then Obama gets back in, then we'll have three more wars. I mean,
if everybody votes independent. But the whole thing is people are dumbed down. People are influenced
people
by
are
the
dumbed
media.
Down. They're not going to vote independent.
It's a very simple
thing. I don't even think you would vote independent, because I don't think if you said you were Ron Paul supporter, he's not going to run as independent.
Who would I vote for as opposed to Ron Paul?
Let's say Ralph Nader ran as an independent, which we know is not going to happen.
Are we wasting votes on people if we know that the majority is not going to vote for them?
What you're doing then, you're saying that the votes are nothing more than a popularity contest.
But is
But what I'm saying is Ron is a libertarian. He's really an independent. He doesn't even have the Republican strategies, right? A lot of people put names on, like, we had a lot of Democrats that came in office in 2008. They weren't true liberals. They were conservative Democrats. They just put the name Democrat on there because they knew everybody was going to vote for Obama. Obama was going to get elected. So they said, you know what, I need to run as a Democrat. A lot of people, that's what they call rhinos.
But didn't
Republican
a lot of people win this year saying that they were Tea Party?
No, what I'm saying is the reason Obama couldn't really do some of the stuff that I don't agree he should have done was before, in 2008, there were people running as Democrats that were really conservative. After the election, they found out we have conservative Democrats in the Democrat Party that are really moderates. They call them moderates. So what I'm saying is a lot of times people are putting a label on that they're Democrat or Republican, but what they believe in is they do that because they know they have no chance of winning if they run as an independent. And like change the attitude,
you have to change.
Nobody's
going
to vote.
The attitudes of people have to be changed. They have to wake up. They have to realize that even if the New World Order doesn't exist, which it does, if it's not here yet, it's going to come in 5 minutes. The thing is that the government is so corrupt that it starts clamping down on everybody's rights, everybody's liberties, everybody's freedoms, and everybody's economics, so that people have got to wake up that it's because of both the Democrats and the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
People keep listening to their campaign promises over and over again. To me, this is just the prime stupidity of the American people.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, the Republicans got voted in. Now voted out, the Democrats came in. Democrats have effed things up. Republicans, they're going to vote for the Republicans again. The same party that did the crap 2 years ago. And then 2 years before that, they voted in the Republicans to cast out the Democrats. They don't care who you vote for.
Well, it's neoconservatives. Well, I think people caught on to Bush's neoconservative politics. He really tarnished the Republican name.
Then how come Perry is leading in the polls?
But see, I'm not even really sure if I believe that
Perry's a progressive. He's just like Obama.
Yeah, okay.
No, I mean, not Perry. I mean Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is a progressive. Perry's leading in the polls because Perry, I think he's a globalist, brother, because he didn't protect the border in Texas.
That's what I'm saying. People don't
know
what's happening.
He has a NAFTA superhighway coming out of Texas, going to Mexico. They're building a superhighway, and Perry approved it.
Yeah, I've got that.
I'm not voting for Perry at all. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not voting for Perry.
No, I've got that 14 reasons.
I think voting for Perry is just like a vote for Bush. I mean,
it is. That, but he's still
it
leading
is.
The polls.
It's, I mean,
yep,
when people say
is.
That, you know, somebody said this about Obama, and I don't know if y'all tell me if you agree or not. They said white people did not vote for Obama in 2008. They voted against George Bush. You see what I'm saying? So
no, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's not true because of white guilt. They wanted to prove they were not racist.
Mm.
And they put Obama right in office. Because,
oh,
see, McCain is just as bad.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't really like either one of them.
I don't know.
To be honest
I
with you. And the only reason
so
I didn't like Obama because I didn't agree with his health care bill that he was talking about before the election came on his health care about all the changes he wanted to make in health care. I didn't really like that. And I was telling people, he's not dealing with anything with legal immigration. He thinks legal immigration needs to be legalized.
He wants
and I'm like,
illegal
I don't,
immigrants here.
That's what I'm saying. Because they vote what? They vote progressive. Legal immigrants will vote liberal.
He did not have a clear plan. I think he thought, I will just repeat everything that Bush said and they'll put me in office. I really think he really did not have a plan.
McCain didn't even get any money. He didn't even hardly raise anything. McCain sounded like an old grandparent that just sit around farting all the time.
Yeah,
the
but he was
terrible
ahead until about the middle of the race. Then Obama started.
And then the oil thing hit McCain bad.
The whole thing is, if you believe that the government, if they believe that there's a globalist or whatever you want to call them, then everything else that you're talking about is moot. It's just a moot point.
Yeah. I think we should succeed.
The government.
We should succeed. I think now, see, there's some Russian military analysts believe we'll have a civil war. The United States will be broken up into five different areas. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I think we can succeed from the government. And I think instead of having a president, we should let the 50 governors vote.
Ooh.
And so the power is getting too centralized in D.C., and we need to break up that power structure. And the executive branch is causing a lot of problems. The executive orders and stopping the oil drilling and all this and that. We need to kind of get the governors in there to kind of run things. What do you guys think about that?
You know, it scares me because, you know, we've seen some of the choices that have been made by governors. So I don't know that they're necessarily people who have enough experience.
And they're bought and paid for anyway. Obama has his council of 10. They've already thought of that.
Wow.
So he has his
council
of 10.
Yeah.
So they're going to be in charge of that. And just like the super committee is going to be in charge of certain types of legislation, and everybody else is going to be, you know, ostracized.
Give you an example. Look at how Schwarzenegger ran California.
I'm not talking about centralized.
Federal government, it shouldn't have the power that it does.
Okay.
Yeah, it's centralized, meaning whatever idea Congress makes, it's going to hurt everybody. See, it's hard to really achieve the Book of Revelation unless you have
major centralized power. You can't. If a lot of people disagree with you, how can you bring about tyranny? You really can't, because the people that disagree is going to stop you in your tracks. So what I'm saying is the Western DC is becoming powerful. They can do a lot of things. Like they can start a war without even approval of Congress. He went to the United Nations. I got approved from the United Nations and went to war with Libya. That's what I'm saying. We don't have a say so in wars anymore.
And the thing is, I thought we were so broke. If we're so broke, how do we have the money to go over there and be financing what's going on in Libya?
Because we're running up the credit card. We're kicking the can down the road. That's why. And we're running out of road. And eventually, off the cliff of the road and bust our head on the concrete if we keep kicking that can down the road.
Keep printing money.
Like 99 times since 1950.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always like that.
Canada, I'm telling you, folks, this 1995, Canada had the same debt issue we do have. They cut spending, their economy grew. So this has been done before. People are freaking out. And cause see, the thing is, if the economy grew in 2008 till now, the budget will almost be balanced. People forget about that. The only reason entitlements is the issue now is because the economy didn't grow. So what I'm saying is, if you don't grow the economy, of course you're going to have to make cuts. But Canada had the same issue we had. If you keep printing money, we'll end up like Zimbabwe, where their currency wasn't even worth toilet paper.
Well, that's the issue.
In Germany, in 1929 in Germany, it took like $10,000 to buy a loaf of bread. If we keep printing money, we're going to have hyperinflation. So that's why I was telling people, because the seniors are flipping out, the senior citizens, the baby boomer seniors. No, don't cut. We'll cut now, but once the economy gets restored, you can get the benefits that you once had. But until the economy gets back up and running, we need to make these cuts so we don't become Germany in 1929.
No, I'm
going to
disagree with that. The economy, why you disagree
with that?
The private sector, you're talking about making cuts in the public sector. The thing is, it's the spending by the politicians which is the problem, and the economy cannot grow because the money's being taken out of the economy by taxes. Anybody who's making any amount of money, you have a nominal tax rate of 44%. That means when you're finished paying federal tax, state tax, and income tax, $44,000 of your hard-earned money is going to these thieves. So when that money's coming out of these...
Yeah, half of everything we earn is tax.
That's about it.
But
you're working
thing,
6 months out of the year for nothing.
But, sir, it's worse than that. It's worse than that. If you factor in the high energy costs and the high health care costs and the high education costs, it's worse than working from January to June paying taxes for federal, state, and local. And we're paying for inflation right now on top of the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worse than
almost,
what you even think.
That's what I'm saying.
But doesn't it almost seem like our government has to be doing some of this on purpose?
Well,
multinationals have deceived the American people. See, people, I'm telling you, if prices were as low as they should be,
okay, I'm listening. Uh-oh.
No, he must have got cut off.
Oh, did he get cut? I think he did get cut off. For some reason, it just dropped his call. But doesn't it almost seem, though, to you?
It is. I'm saying. That's why I said, duh. If we keep talking about the globalists and then we keep asking, well, do you think something's wrong with the government as though somebody's doing it on purpose? When you talk about the globalists, their intention, it's a communist type of intention. It's a totalitarian intention. Doesn't have to be communist, doesn't have to be globalist. It's totalitarian. They are doing this on purpose.
Wow.
You have to take a look at, if they've been in office for 15, 20, 25 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a lot of these politicians. And these same issues have been coming up for the last 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 years. And they've been voting on it, and they continue to vote on it in bad ways. I keep telling people, how many times do you have to the Titanic hit the same iceberg for you to realize that it's sabotage?
Mm. I agree with that. It does sound like sabotage. I mean, it's almost impossible that they could keep making decisions that are hurting the American people, and we keep thinking that somehow they're doing it accidentally. That couldn't be happening. They could not be getting it wrong this often.
It's
impossible. So what is the answer? The answer is to figure out who is doing what we need them to do and who isn't. And I say that we need to have a serious changeover going into the election.
But people are going to, because Obama's not going to get reelected. People are not going to vote for a black person again.
I really don't think Obama's going to make it this time.
So they're going to vote. I thought Palin would win, but now that Rick Perry's in the contest, Palin is probably going to, you know, do minimal. And Rick Perry will probably be the GOP guy, and whoever he runs against, he'll probably win. He's selected. We only elect what the elite, the globalists, I can't curse on your show, but what they select.
Really?
And then
let me ask you this.
Hmm?
Don't you think that Rick Perry really could pull this off?
Yeah, I just said he's going to win.
I mean, I hate to say that because I've seen him as my governor, and I know what he's capable of. The rest of the people probably haven't figured it out yet. But Rick Perry, I really believe, could pull this off. And I don't think he's a bad guy. I just don't think he's qualified to run this country.
No, he's a bad guy, too.
You think he's a bad guy? Why do you say he's a bad guy?
Okay, I'll tell you what. Why don't you go to the article that I have up in front of me? It's called 14 Reasons Why Rick Perry is... would be a really, really bad president. You know?
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's the name of the article.
Who wrote the article?
Let me down at the bottom. I guess it's there.
What website?
It's the American Dream. It's always
really?
Talking. Yeah.
And what kind of reasons did they give?
Well, the first one is he was a big government politician. It says here that when he was became the governor of Texas in 2000. The total spending by Texas was about $49 billion. 10 years later, it's now $90 billion. So he's not reducing government. He's making it larger.
Leave your lines open again. Okay, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you put in the keywords, the headline, 14 reasons why Rick Perry would be a really, really bad president, the article will come right up, and you can take a look at it.
I mean, I've seen him. Like I said, ever since Bush became president, he's been our governor. And
mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you, I'm just saying, Rick Perry I don't know. Y'all can research his record for yourself. But it just, I wouldn't want him to go from governor to president. I mean, he did something here this past week that made no sense to me. But, when you think of politics, it made a lot of sense. I've never seen any big, to do about him being this big Christian. Well, this past week he went to this big evangelical meeting and, spoke, and, thousands of people, all of a sudden, believe that he's this holy roly. And I'm thinking, mm-hmm. I've never seen this side of him in all the time that he's been our governor. But that's one of those moves that people get confused about. Okay, someone's a Christian, so therefore that makes them a good politician. That's crazy. That's not a reason to vote for him.
Yeah, I call it tyranny wrapped around a flag. It's tyranny wrapped around a flag. I tell you, this is when you'll know tyranny's right around the corner. When you see police officers, paramilitary, or military soldiers having the highest paid job in the nation, if they ever have the highest paid job, then you know that tyranny's right around the corner. If police officers start making six figures, you know tyranny's right around the corner. Because mm-hmm. they have to have the highly paid tyranny police officers to enforce that tyranny on us, the American people. They're going to have highly paid soldiers to do it. And see, when Obama came in office, he said he wanted to have a civilian force just as large as the military, and that had me concerned.
Did he really?
About that. Yeah, you guys remember that? Do you remember that speech?
Yeah.
I guess I heard it.
All you do is Google it. Just Google civilian military force in Obama.
I'm
going to
let you guys go. I'm going to get my show ready. It's 11, so I'll see you guys.
Oh, how much time we have left in the show?
Okay, bye-bye.
We got about 20-some-odd minutes left in the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you don't have any other callers call in?
You know what? They're all in the chat. They're in the chat room talking.
Oh, they're in the chat room. They're probably cussing me out, aren't they?
Think bad about you. But, this is a show, really, and typically I book guests. I do not do shows, but, tonight like I said, I invited them and they did not come. And to me, though, we got to look at that. We got to look at the fact that these people go out for photo ops, but when you want to call them to come on a show and answer questions, they don't want to do that. I mean, Mr. Conyers, and I'm going to put Representative Conyers in the hot seat. Basically, his people wanted to know, will callers be calling in? Well, that always concerns me when somebody wants to know if they're going to have to take calls. If you're
don't be embarrassed, folks. Don't be embarrassed if you're not happy with Obama. It's okay. It seems like people are almost ashamed of being disappointed in Obama. You don't have to be. The government should be creating jobs. The government should be taking care of people. The government should be doing good. All I've hearing lately is the government defending itself from attacks by the people. So a lot of people think it's bad to even say anything bad about them. I'm like, no. That's what our country is all about, freedom of speech. If you don't like what's going on, call in. Just call in. There's nothing wrong with it.
But you know what I think we should do in this country, and I really do? I think going into election season 2012, we need to put think tanks together, and we need to sit down and do exactly what we're doing tonight and figure out. I mean, seriously, and we need to go to the politicians and say, these are our demands. We're not asking you. This is what we're telling you got to do. If you don't, we will not be putting you back in office. I think that's what needs to happen. I mean, if we put people in there that are not smart enough to figure it out, we can figure it out. But at the same time, if we do, we don't need them. I mean,
if
we
bring
put the wrong people in
back,
offices.
If,
we put the wrong people in those seats, and they're killing
us. You're
right. I mean, we're two.
If you bring manufacturing back to America, bring manufacturing back from China, all these problems would be it wouldn't exist. And student loan debt is a bubble right now as well.
Wow.
Not just gold. Student loan is a bubble. There's more student loan debt than credit card debt now. And
but
don't think those interest rates are going to stay low.
Well, let me ask
you this.
In the 60s, remember the word boycott was used a lot? Remember when it's not going right, people would say, you know what, we're going to boycott. And you know what folks did? They did it.
Buy local.
If they had to get off the bus and walk in order to make something happen, they did. Why are we so afraid of that word today?
We should do it because, see, Austin, Texas boycotted, and they were having a buy local type of political movement, and their economy grew because people were buying so much stuff local. Their economy in Austin, Texas grew. So Obama did talk about putting stickers on local products, and I agree with him on that. We buy local, the multinationals will be forced to change their ways. But these politicians, they're so slick, and we need some straight talk. The slickness is getting on my nerves because every time somebody's slick, I have to do hours of research to really find out what's going on, and I'm tired of doing that.
I started a campaign on center stage a couple weeks ago that said, if you want to see America strong, buy American. I think that's absolutely what we should do. I mean, we should stop buying foreign cars if it's taking jobs out of this country. We should stop buying T-shirts that are not made in America, made in China. I mean, there's certain things we can do to demand a job come back in this country. I mean, seriously, I don't want to buy a Ford truck, but you know what? I will give up what I'm driving and get in a Ford truck if it'll bring jobs back to America.
And we should separate black history from economics. See, a lot of people, if you criticize the president, oh, you're not for black history. I'm black, and I am for black history. But black history is not going to create 14 million jobs. I'm sorry, folks. We need to separate black history, the first black president, and some women don't even like calling him first black. Some women call him biracial. Okay, some women are not happy about us calling him the first black president. But we got to separate black history from economics. Because if we call every single candidate a racist, we're not going to get anywhere. We're not going anywhere because racism has nothing to do with creating millions of jobs. It really doesn't. And so, you know, they can be racist all day, but as long as I'm feeding my family, I don't care what they say. I'm still packing my 9 bed. So I'm not tripping about them being racist. I want jobs created.
You know
what I'm saying?
You're speaking of feeding your family, though, and it's right. Yeah. We got to give up the racism thing and vote for the right candidate because they say 5.8 million Americans rely on food stamps right now. That's about 15% of Americans. That's crazy.
And imagine if you have a child and you're taking care of by himself and you're getting welfare and you have no other way to take care of that child, and they cut all that off. You know, so it's like the banks, the bankers are getting everything they want, but we can't get anything. No, I don't necessarily agree with that. We need the banks to take some stuff to suffer as well, folks. The banks are on the highest pedestal. They want all the austerity cuts. They want to cut off welfare, Social Security, Medicare. But, oh, the banks, oh, you must pay us the interest rates. What? We're paying 22% interest because a little blip on the credit report? You see, my father talked about it. He said back in the day it wasn't like that. You had a little blip on your credit report. You know, it 7%. But now they're raping folks, and they want to seem like, oh, the economic housing crash was black people's fault because we bought houses we couldn't afford. No, it wasn't. It was the bank's fault because they lent out the money. They were the dumb for lending out the money in the first place.
You know
so
what?
We're suffering when they need to suffer. You follow me?
I'm in the mortgage industry, and trust me, I understand. That's a big lie. Because trust me, when you submit a loan, it is very well scrutinized. So they let go through what they wanted to let go through. And trust me, they were making their numbers and their quotas, and so therefore they let a lot of loans go through that they weren't supposed to let go. So trust me, that's
the right. And who is the only people in America that never made a sacrifice in this recession? The banks. No. They haven't made any sacrifice. They got million-dollar bonuses. They haven't made not any sacrifice. They have the best real estate in this country. Skyscrapers in every downtown or every major metropolitan city is banks. They haven't made any sacrifices. They keep charging higher interest rates. They're not loaning out money to people that's been in business for decades, forcing them to lay off workers to buy new equipment. And so these banks are really, they're more of a problem than even the high cost of oil.
But the biggest problem right now. If I had bailed them out, the economy would have collapsed. Okay, we get that part.
It's an easy way out. That's an easy way out.
You're rewarding bad behavior.
You
could have put some stiffer penalties on them to get the money.
That's like somebody punching me in my face, and I'm like, you know, that's like somebody punching me in my face, and then I help them because they fell down the stairs. Let's say somebody punched me in my face, they fell down the stairs. But I'm supposed to come and help them get back up off the ground. Come on. You're rewarding bad behavior. And you think bailing out the banks, they're still getting us because they're not even loaning out the money. Without the loan, they're not loaning out the money to people that's credible. They can't take out a loan. The credit is tight. That means you can't grow the economy because we're on a debt-based system. Trust me, the banks have raped us. They really have. They've robbed the taxpayer. Bailing them out is an easy way out. They create fear. It's just an easy way out, folks. It is.
And you know
Glass-Steagall. They ain't even put Glass-Steagall back up there. That's what prevented the whole thing in the first place. Glass-Steagall. What happened? No, we have Dodd-Frank. Dodd-Frank is punishing businesses that had nothing to do with it. They're punishing farmers at Dodd-Frank, making them pay higher costs. They had nothing to do with the housing problem in the first place.
Well, you know what? We got to be honest.
Our country's upside down, folks.
I mean, everything's upside down. At the bottom of the hour, we are sitting back just like Monday morning quarterbacks or people do in the hood when something goes wrong. We all stand on the porch and talk about it, on the corner and talk about it, and nobody goes and does anything about it. I think it's – you know what? As much as I don't like some of the things that the Tea Party says, but they are on the right track. They have issues with what's going on in government, and they are speaking up. That's what the rest of us got to do. We may not have to do it the way they're doing it, but we do need to do something similar. We need to put together.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, my mom, she cusses at the Tea Party on TV every day. She calls them racist every day, and when I see her every blue moon, I'm like, Mom, I'm like, you can cuss at the TV all you want. I thought you could call them racist all you want. That's not gonna get you the economy back on track. And people are becoming more emotional than logical, and that's becoming an issue too. See, back in the day, politicians used to speak all tell you exactly, okay, the Federal Reserve, this and that, tell you all the statistics and everything. Now, politicians are more emotional than ever before. You notice that?
And you know what, though? They just do a whole bunch of mudslinging. I really, to be honest with you, I've lost total faith in them. I mean, really, it's no more I listen to what you say, I watch what you do. And I think that's how we ought to judge every politician that we got to vote for going into these elections. No more listening to what he says on the campaign trail or she says on the campaign trail. It's all about records, period. Period. Because I don't think we can afford to make any more mistakes. I mean, really, we are two steps. I've said it two or three times tonight, two steps from the soup line. Why would we continue until we're in the soup line before we do something?
You know what I'm afraid of is the Republicans getting back in, not making the banks suffer, but want to cut off all the welfare, cut off all the entitlements, but the banks don't suffer at all. That's what has me more concerned. Because I know Ron Paul wants to look good.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these candidates out here, Rick Perry, Michelle Bachmann, they really don't ever talk about the banks. You know, so I'm like, you know, all I hear is cut, cut, cut. But I don't hear anything about the banks making any sacrifice. All I hear is cut, cut, cut. I want them to sacrifice. They caused the problem in the first place. People, they know people aren't smart enough to determine how big of a house they can get. The average person can't even balance a checkbook. So they're the reason why they loaned out too much money. They need to be suffering. They need to lower the interest rates on some of these loans out here. They need to cut. You see, it's funny how we should make sacrifices. Our family cut off food stamps, cut off welfare, cut off unemployment, cut off all these benefits. But the banks, they got 50% interest rates on some credit cards now. You know that?
Yes. You know what?
We have to make all the sacrifice. I don't agree with that. Uh-uh.
You know what? So it's funny you were talking about welfare and Republicans and Democrats a minute ago. Someone said on Facebook this week, and it cracked me up, they said that if you support welfare, vote Democrat. They said, but if you want to be on welfare, vote Republican. I mean, and technically,
that's not
I get
true.
That. I really do.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, but that's, I know it doesn't have to be that way. These banks are robbing trillions from America.
Wow.
Offshore banks. Offshore
let me
banks.
Go to Gio. Hold on, Steve. Good evening, Gio. You're on center stage. How you doing?
I'm fine, center stage. How are you?
I'm good. What do you got tonight?
This is a wonderful topic you all have going on. And you're hitting all the points. I just wanted to add that, you know, a lot of people, I think they neglect to look at this aspect of it. And I'm not advocating anybody start a war. So listeners, please don't take me out of context. But the Depression of 1937, the way they got out of that was actually World War II, which generated, as your co-host or the gentleman that's on alluded to, manufacturing jobs and all that was related. And the reason I bring this up is a segue into, you know, people have been very critical of the president and the somewhat, I'm not going to say reluctant, but reticent appearance of pulling out of Afghanistan all at once. But we got to remember, you know, to shut down Afghanistan, we already have a high unemployment rate. We're going to have soldiers and service people coming home that now are going to go into that pool and, you know, of people that are looking for employment that already is not available to them. And some segments of that employment pool that is available will dry up because now we don't need, you know, some of the suppliers that are supplying the defense companies that are over there and the like. You're going to see a lot of the support.
Well, you know what? Technically, the only people we'd be putting out of work that's supporting is Halliburton because that's the only person been benefiting from this war. Just saying, but okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're right. Well, actually, I don't think so because you know what? Part of pulling out of Afghanistan is actually leaving the third-party security firms intact until, you know, Afghanistan is able to stand alone. And the same goes for Pakistan as well. So they are going to actually be the last if ever, to come out of there. Because right now, part of what's going on in Afghanistan is the transition from the U.S. military to these third-party security firms that are going to actually support and continue the training of, you know, the authorities that are actually a part of that country. So that's something else people might want to, look at when they're bringing up this argument.
Are you speaking of that third-party security firm that we're paying $100,000 a person?
That one, they will not, and you know, if the U.S. military actually is part of the whole plan to get them out and let third-party security firms take more of an active role in, you know, day-to-day security, police force training, and, you know, all the like, really.
Wow. I mean, you know what, it's just a no-win with this whole situation. I mean, I agree with you. If we bring them back, you know, the soldiers, that is, then we got to pay them unemployment benefits, and then they're back, you know, in this big pool of people that are unemployed. I get that. But at the same time, should we keep them over there and continue to pay them when they really don't need to be over there? I mean, it's a no-win situation.
No, we don't need them over there. We really don't, folks. We don't need them.
We don't need them.
You know, they're over there causing more problems. And I think we're going to end up having roadside bombs here in America, to be honest with you.
Mm.
I think they're going to bring the war over here.
Wow.
But, you know, like the gentleman talked about the World War II, and, see, they had super high taxes back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have super high taxes now. And if we did try to go to 90% tax rates and all that, we're in a global economy now. Back then, we weren't really a global economy. So it's a totally different perspective. But you're right. We did come out of it. But back then, when we did have the debt that was as high as we did now, back then, to pay off those debts that we incurred in World War II, they had 50% inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we have about 9%. They inflated the dollar to pay those war debts. If you try to do that now with all these people screaming about inflation, you'll crash the economy. Hyperinflation.
He's right. And in respect to Roosevelt, he took more of, and I'm not saying we're not going to see this out of Barack Obama, because he's very calculating, he's very smart, and, you know, I don't question a lot of the things that people charge him with being reticent on, but Roosevelt eventually took the bull by the horns and said, look, okay, this is what's going to happen. Congress be damned. And they started putting through a lot of legislature that addressed these issues, because it was bad back in, you know, 30, 36, 37. You had people on the street actually selling soup, peanuts, and it was awful.
Did we lose you?
No, I'm still here.
Hello? Oh, okay. I thought you were cut off, too. You went quiet for a second. I'm on some phone. Yeah, but can you speak about they want us to make all the sacrifices, but the banks can just do whatever they want?
Oh, me or Gio?
I'm still here.
Go ahead, Gio.
The gentleman. Mm-hmm.
And you raise a real good point, sir. When you allude to the banks, that's a huge part of the problem right now. Big banks. They have lobbyists. They have people, come on, let's just be real about it. Half of the people in Congress and Senate, you know, big banks have an arm. They've got that kind of reach. One of the reasons they were bailed out, we can't charge that back to Obama, okay? That's all politics, and it doesn't stop at Obama's door. Big banks are a large part of the reason that we are where we are now. Will nobody's told me yet, what's the sense in a glutton of empty houses and you got homeless people when you could very well, okay, rent these homes until you sell them or rent to these people to own? You've got banks that won't work with people right now that have gotten themselves together, got mortgage money in hand, can catch up. The banks don't want to hear it. They want another empty house.
And you know what? I had a view. I had an opinion on that, because I understand mortgage. If you got someone who, let's just say, bought the house at $100,000 and they got in trouble, let's just say they got a couple of months behind, but they still want to stay in that house, they still have a job, they're just a little behind, why would you then foreclose on them and take the loss for all the months that they got behind, plus sell the the house at a reduced value. Let's just say you're only able then to sell it for $75,000, and they were willing to pay $100,000 for it. The market has gone down, so really that $100,000 house, you can't even get $100,000 for it. So you're gonna have to sell it at $75,000. Why would you sell it at $75,000 to someone rather than keep the person who's willing to pay $100,000 for it in it, reduce the rate to a point in which they can afford to make the payment, and put the rest on the back end and keep it moving?
Ta-da.
I have so wanted to tell Obama, can I help you figure it out? I don't know what y'all doing up there, but that is just simple arithmetic to me.
Why would you
put somebody out who's willing to pay you more than the market even supports today?
But this is going to make you even more upset. They could have passed a law to make fixed interest rates on all those loans going underwater.
Absolutely.
They could have fixed the interest rates on the way up, and we would have never had this issue in the first place. Instead of fixing the interest rates, let's just let them go rise.
They knew
this problem was coming. They were talking about this problem in 2006. I see people on Bloomberg television talking about this issue in 2006, how we got a bubble forming. They didn't do nothing. Bush sat there on his fat butt. Man, Bush, you know what? He's even worse than Obama. He could have prevented the bubble in the first.
Yes.
You got the world's smartest people sitting up here in the White House, and you don't let this bubble bust all over America, and now we're supposed to just cut off everything, and the bank's supposed to just get whatever they want. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it at all.
But my thing is that we are allowing it, though. Just like the Tea, you know what? In my opinion, the Tea Party came from nowhere and changed the whole game.
Seriously,
those people galvanized. They got together. They did whatever they had to do. They built momentum, and the next thing you know, they were changing politics in America. Why is it that the rest of us are not paying attention to how that worked? I mean, you don't need to change a thing. My views are not as strong as theirs on certain issues, but what they're doing, the process should be the same. If we don't like what's going on, we should do something about it.
I think we've become too emotional in the black community. We've become emotional about the issue. And so that's why I come on the show and talk about all the statistics. Because when I talk to liberals and different people, I'm independent. But when I talk to people, it's become an emotional subject. And so I try to bring some logic back into it. But all I hear is raise taxes on the rich. I keep trying to tell people we can take all of the rich people's money. It still wouldn't really pay for everything we need. I'm been telling people we need to target the banks. If we get the interest rates down, then more consumer spending. You'll have you see what I'm saying? When interest rates come down, more people, more consumer spending. The economy will heal itself. But people, they keep targeting the rich, and I'm like, we can tax them, but half of America don't pay federal income taxes in the first. it's become an emotional subject. They keep targeting the rich, and I'm like, we need to be targeting the banks as well. I understand rich people like Warren Buffett ain't paying his fair share, but the banks cannot let them walk away clean slate when the banks are the rich. You know, so people forget that. Every time I talk to the banks about the liberals, they'll tell me, well, we need the banks because Obama said it hurt the economy. If we hurt the banks, we hurt the economy. 22% interest rate on a car loan. What does that have anything to do with helping the economy? It doesn't.
It doesn't.
We don't need the poor people paying that high interest rate on that.
We need to shut down the car dealerships just like we do other people when they don't do us right. When you get through at the end of the day, I'd rather keep driving a bucket than give you 22% for a new car. I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, so some of the things we got to take back control. If we stop buying, they'll drop the 22% interest rate. We just keep buying and allowing them to charge us that. So they're gouging us, and we're allowing them to gouge us. That's what, I mean, really.
Yeah.
If we stop buying.
So prices. That's
right.
Really, if you look at the interest rates, the high gasoline. It seems like everything that's wrong with this economy is that we're paying too much money as form of prices, interest rates, all that. So we get the prices down, consumer spending will come back up. Because I guess what I constantly hear from businesses, we need more spending, but they're not. Consumers aren't spending enough money. I was talking to a guy, he was like, you know, but the baby boomers, they're retiring, and normally when people retire, they save more money for retirement. That's what baby boomers are doing. So I'm like, well, how can we fix this? Well, we get the bank interest rates to come down on homeowners and auto loans. Consumer spending goes back up. The banks are they're the root of this problem, and they need to be the solution. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen. And, y'all, we got to get out of here. Listen, thank you so much to Steve for weighing in tonight. Queen weighed in. Gio, thank you for
God bless.
And I forgot who the other caller was, but thank you so much for weighing in as well. And also a reminder, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or the host. Also a reminder, if you want to see America strong, buy American. Hey, y'all, I got to get out of here. Listen, thank you so much for tuning in. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.